I hope we can say something that'll be encouraging. There was a minister or two that was here the other night. I was hoping that they'd speak to us, but they're gone. They said they would be back. They couldn't stay. They said that they would be back and be taking part in the services. Reading from over in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. You know, we've been trying our best to bring you right down to the end time to let you know what was going to happen. And at the same time, mix in a little gospel of preparation and what is esteemed by God needful for your edification and perfection. The 4th chapter, the 1st verse, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of the time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every minister hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evil doer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Paul tells us here that one thing is needful in the gospel, and that is a mind to suffer. I suppose that if there's anything that we want to shy away from, it's the mind to suffer. It seems like we'd rather have most anything than a mind to suffer, isn't that right? We don't like to suffer. We, the evangelists of today, and Paul said, I say we to keep from saying you. We, the evangelists of today, we like to preach prosperity. We like to preach healing and health and happiness. But we don't like to preach correction and chastisement. And we don't like to preach suffering. And yet the early church, one of the great things of the early church was that men had a mind to suffer. They were willing to suffer. It was within their hearts and minds to submit themselves, their bodies and their spirits to suffering, that they might be partakers of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle makes this statement. He said, "I seek to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. And so then to know in the fellowship of the suffering the Son of God is one of the greatest things that we will ever do. We want to submit our minds, we want to submit our bodies, and we want to submit our motives, and we want to submit our thoughts until there is not one thought that comes to our mind, not one word that comes out of our mouth, not one impulse, not one reflex, except it be God, except it be motivated by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it is an interference with the Spirit, and it is not in God's plan, and it is not of God, and it is not benefiting God, and it will not benefit us in our lifetime as we journey here in this world. You know, the little foxes fall the vines. It's the little bitty things that we think that doesn't matter in life that causes us all of our problems. Isn't that right? We want to omit this and omit that, and we want to add this and we want to add that. You know, the Constitution of the United States, you know what's wrong with it today? Is there too many little foxes. They've added too many little things. They've got too many addendums. They've got too many little additives, and they've messed up the entire Constitution. Ministers have dumped the Word of God the same way. They have inserted too many little things here and there until they have messed up the Word of God, and they've got it in such a conglomeration of a mess until people don't know what to believe anymore. They're preaching everything. Did you know that? They're preaching everything. I've heard of every kind of move. In the years that I've been preaching the gospel, I've heard everything from the charismatic to the latter rain to the revelation of Jesus Christ to the sonship to the bride message to I don't know what kind of message. Every kind of message. But folks, there's only one kind of message, and that's God's Word. I don't care what people say they're preaching. The Bible said he that God sendeth will speak God's Word. If he doesn't speak God's Word, he's playing a game. It's a bunch of foolishness. If I preach something to you, it doesn't matter what I preach. If I preach the Word of God, I'm preaching what God told me to preach. I'm telling you about the things of God. I'm helping you. If I'm preaching something else, I'm playing a game. I'm looking for some kind of a ministry. I want to be a showboy. I want to be something out in the eyes of the public. I'm looking for some kind of a thing in this world to set me up, some kind of a kingdom or something. If I preach anything outside of the Word of God, if a man come to you preaching something outside of the Word of God, let him be accursed. Somebody say, I love Jesus. We need to get away from titling God's messages this and that and the other and pulling away from God's Word and get down to preaching God's Word. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Let all the rest of it go down the drain. Wash it down the drain and just get God's Word. You love Jesus? That's why I call what I'm preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's God's Word. Read it in the book of John. The Bible said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's God's Word. If what you're preaching is not God's Word, you need to change the title of it. It has to be God's Word. We've got too many titles. We've got too many outlets. We've got too many avenues. We've got too many desires. We've got too many ambitions. We've got too many programs. God has but one program, that's the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, that's great. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. So then we get the people so mixed up, we get them so crossed up, they don't know where they're going, they don't know what they're doing. We get the little sheep so mixed up, we're supposed to be a great big preacher, some famous person, some outstanding person, when we're just carrying a bunch of junk a lot of times. You know, Paul said we use great plainness of speech. Said we're rude in speech, but not in knowledge. It's just a great big bunch of junk sometimes. The devil's got his little sack on his back, and he's just peddling a lot of junk. That's all it amounts to. He's just a junk man, that's all. But folks, let's take the Word of God
And let's get the Word of God and let's stop trying to start some kind of denomination, some kind of what we call the move of God, or try to be some outstanding person in the eyes of the people to where we can be part of what we call a move of God. And let's get God's Word and let God use us in the earth. And stop this bunch of foolishness that's turned the entire church to pieces. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian and to preach God's Word. You know, there's nothing I hate worse than an old surmising mind of fault finding. And you know, I got people in my offices, some of them got old minds of fault finding and surmising and evil thinking. I wish they were 1,000 miles from me. That's right. I love people with that sweet Holy Spirit that Stan sang about tonight. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you don't sound like you've got the sweet Holy Spirit. Jesus turned them tables over and popped that whip, and he had that sweet Holy Spirit. Glory to God, and he straightened out things in the house of God. So then tonight, what we need is the sweet Holy Spirit and not an old corrupt mind of suspicion. A lot of people got a gift and one of them is suspicion. The devil gave it to them. They come to check you out. I've heard people say, well, I come to spy out the camp. And that's true. That's what devils come for, is to spy out the camp and spy out the liberty. And they announce it at their coming. Children of God don't come to spy out no camp. Children of God come to hope all things, to believe all things, and trust to God that everything's right. And they try not to believe anything else till you prove something else to them. Because they don't want to find fault with people, and they don't want to go around like a bunch of peeping toms trying to peep in on everybody to see whether they're good or bad. You know, it's bad enough to know that people are bad and have to see what you see with your eyes, let alone have to be a peeping tom to try to figure out everything's in their thoughts. You love Jesus? But it is a true fact that when you stand up here, you're going to know what folks are thinking if you get in the Spirit. Did you know that? All right. So then, folks, we need to get down to business. We need to get away from this churchianity of today of being a bunch of charismatics and PTL and 700 fans and all this kind of junk, and get down to business and get born again and get right with God. You say, Brother Pine, you don't believe those people are born again? I don't believe those people are born again. People that are born again don't act like that. The Bible said a child is known by his doings, and the nature of Christ has never done that in all of the days of the record of Christ on earth. Never. God doesn't act like that. You say, well, where does that come from, Brother Pye? The rain comes on the just and on the unjust. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. It's a true fact that people are religious. Cain was religious. He offered up his sacrifice. But God didn't accept it. God didn't accept it. Somebody said, well, I think he's accepting the PTL. Well, you're going to find out wrong. When you get on the other side of the hill, you're going to find out that God don't have no PTL clubs in heaven. How are you going to join the PTL club when you get to heaven in the 700 club? You know that's a bunch of junk. God ain't got no PTL in 700 club in heaven. There ain't no such thing. I tell you what he has got. He's got a revelation of Jesus Christ in heaven, though. Did you know that? God is not looking for a bunch of junk. God wants us to be Christians. Some might say, Brother Pike, you don't have to be so harsh about the thing. I tell you what, if the ministry would be straight about the Word of God and the things of God, the church world wouldn't be in the mess it's in right now. But somebody said, that little split down neck on that little sister don't look too bad. And if you jerk the sleeves out, that don't look too bad. And if you raise the dress up above the knees, that don't look too bad. And if they wear a pantsuit, well, that's not all that bad. It's just the way you look at it. That's right. And I look at it through the Bible, and it's of the devil. All of it. It's like our brother said today, he really meant charismatic. He was saying charismatic, but I misunderstood him. You know, our brother from New Jersey, he was saying charismatic. They talked just a little bit different up there. And that not having that southern draw, he said charismatic. I thought he said cosmetic. And I was really honest about it. I said, you know, that's the best name I've heard for that thing yet, is the cosmetic move. I thought he said the cosmetic move. And it really is a bunch of actors all painted up and Jezebels all painted up. They're a bunch of cosmetic. It's a cosmetic move, you know. But he was saying charismatic. That's what he's saying. Brother, forgive me. It was okay. He said charismatic. But anyway, you know, what we need to do, folks, is to realize being a Christian is the real, genuine thing. Isn't that right? Glory to God. Be a Holy Ghost-filled person. Be clean. Be holy. Be upright. I don't mean to go around lamb-blasting somebody and tearing somebody down, but have a foundation. Have something. If you get up to preach the gospel, tell the truth about it. Tell the truth. Don't cut any corners. The Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. You know, you get up and you got the sword of God and you start down the line. You say, wait a minute, I can't say this. If I say this, that man is not going to give me that 1,000 over here. And there sits another man over here. I know he ain't what he ought to be. That'll be $5,000 to go down the drain if I say the wrong thing. Well, I tell you, my 5,000 is gone. If God don't give it to me, I lost it. Sure as the world, because I got started off on the wrong foot here tonight. If that's what it takes to get 5,000. I believe this. I believe that God should supply our needs. And I believe that God will supply our needs. The Bible said God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And I agree to this one thing. If you're not going to follow God, and if you're not going to be holy, and if you're not going to be upright, and you're not going to pray, and you're not going to fast, and you're not going to be clean in the sight of God, you need to get your PTL in 700, and you need to pull all you can pull, because you're not going to have your needs met by God. I can tell you that. The Bible said, make to yourself friends of the unrighteous dollar or mammon. Make you some friends of that unrighteous mammon and get whatever you can, because you're going to need it when God rejects you. But brother, if you'll follow God and you'll do what God tells you to do, and if you'll obey God, God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And He paves His street with gold and hangs His gates out of pearls. Hallelujah. I feel religious showing up now, don't you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Two in a row. Brother Ernie got one this morning. I'm getting none tonight. Now, so then it is a true fact. When I bring Zion again, they're just going to have one message. All of them going to speak the same thing. All of them going to see eye to eye. All of them going to be the same way. There's not going to be a half a dozen messages. You know, I said this year a while back, I was talking to somebody. Did you know that out on the West Coast, there's a great dispute. Out there, you get out there preaching along California. We preach down in West Hollywood and Los Angeles and down in Anaheim along the coast there. And they have a dispute, and their dispute is, who is the greater? The sons of God or the bride? And here they go, chopping and a-hacking and a-chopping and a-hacking. And this one cuts him off a chunk over here, and every man looks to his quarter of his gain. And they fuss and they feud and they fight, and they're worse than the assemblies and the churches of God and the Methodists and the Baptists and all them chopping at each other. I know about non-denominational works out there now. A lot of them say we non-denominational. We don't mess with them denominations, and some of them's in worse shape than denominations. At least the denominations do have some sort of agreement. But they fuss over who's the greatest, the bride or the sons. Now, I want to show you something here just for a moment. Maybe you already seen it, you know it. But blind leaders of the blind, stranger than that swallow camel, don't know where they're going, don't know where they come from, they don't know what they're talking about. And they're just trying to prove something they don't even understand. God's word is not divided. See, according to the Bible, there's nothing to fuss over. There's nothing to feud over about the sonship and the bride. There's no hairs to be split over that. Why should we fuss with each other and fight with each other over something like that? There's nothing to fight over. It's one and the same thing. Somebody say, well, I don't buy that. Oh, I don't have it for sale anyway. The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. But we purchased it through the blood of Jesus at Calvary, but we don't have it for sale. Now, so then, what does God mean by that? Now look at it soberly and godly and at the Bible. Look at it. According to the Bible, Jesus Christ is the first brother among many brethren. Is that right? Have you know that's the Bible? The first brother among many brethren. That's what the Bible says. So then, if he's the first brother among many brethren, that means there's some more brethren somewhere. He was the Son of God. So was Adam called the Son of God. And John said, now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. So then he was the first brother, of which Brother Pike is one of those brethren. Brother Taylor, I believe he's one of those brethren. He was the first brother of those many brethren that God was going to call. Is that right? Why are we brethren? Because we are sons and he's the Son of God. Why are we sons of God? John, why do you call us sons of God? Because we have a heavenly Father. It's somebody that has a father as a son. You can't get into the world unless you have a father. Isn't that right? You've got to have a father somewhere. I know there's two births, but there has to be a father somewhere. You have to have a father. You are a son because you are a father. Therefore, we are sons because God is our heavenly Father. That's where sonship comes from. We are sons of God because we have a heavenly Father. But where does the bride come from? It doesn't have anything to do with the heavenly Father. The bride doesn't have anything to do with the heavenly Father. We are not the bride of the heavenly Father. We are sons of the heavenly Father. But we are the bride of the Son of God. We are the bone and flesh of his membership. It is Jesus. We are his bride. I am his bone. I am his flesh. Because I am of his blood, I am made the bride of Christ. By the blood of Christ. Thus I am his bone and his flesh. By his very blood. I am a son to my heavenly Father. But I am a bride to Jesus Christ. Because I am bone of his bone and I am flesh of his flesh. Therefore I am bone of his bone. And I am flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. Royal blood flows through my veins tonight. And this was what Paul spoke of the great mystery concerning Christ and the church. A man and his wife no longer twain but one. They're no longer twain because the man is the head. There's but one head to a family, that's the man. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man and man is the head of the woman. There's but one head to the family. The woman is part of the membership. So then Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And we're the membership of it. We're the body of it. And his precious locks, just like Samson's locks of those church ages, of them seven locks, they hang down upon the shoulders of the church. And the government of God of the head is upon the shoulders. When that woman chops off her hair, that's a foolish thing for her to do. Her hair is supposed to be down on her shoulders because the man is the head. That's the government. It's supposed to rest on the shoulders. But the devil will make her tie it up, pin it up, chop it up, do anything to it to keep it off of the shoulders. Isn't that right? You see a woman bald it up and she pins it and she sticks it. You know what that has to do with? It's typical of the crucifixion of Jesus when he stuck the thorns in. Well, just comb it out and let it hang on the shoulders. That's the way God made it. Oh, I know I'd get a repercussion out of that. Just about lost part of my audience then. But it's so anyhow. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God for people that live a holy life. They can say amen. So then being the bride of Christ, we are the bride of Christ tonight, beloved friend. We're his bride. We're bone of his bone tonight. We're flesh of his flesh tonight. I am whatever he is. What is he tonight? I'm a quickening spirit. Why? Because he's a quickening spirit. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, I can see you and you ain't no quickening spirit. You can't see me. I say, you're playing hide and seek? You can't see me. What come you can't see you, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. You can't see me now. Some of you can because you're up here with me. I see you and you see me, but I'm talking about them devils. They can't see me. You love the Lord? He said, but I see you standing up there. All you see is a lying vanity. That's all you see. That passed away a long time ago. You love Jesus? Old Jonah said, that whale wasn't nothing but a lying vanity. That big fish. It proved out to be so. After a while, he was standing on the land. There wasn't no walls at all. Must have been a lying vanity. It wasn't there no more. Jesus just walked right through them walls. It must have been lying vanities. Isn't that right? Walked right through the wall. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God. I tell you, this is wonderful up here where I'm at. You folks ought to come up here. We sang that song, this is like heaven to me. Brother, this is heaven. Hallelujah. God has made us to sit together in these heavenly places. Oh, I get so enthused, I feel like a bird. I just feel like I could fly away. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, thrilling experience. Why? Because I believe in God. I am bone of His bone, and I am flesh of His flesh. This great, wonderful exhilaration of the Holy Spirit, I feel it racing through my body. I feel that heavenly charge going through my blood vessels, going through my blood veins. I feel it quickening the fibers of my body. That same quickening spirit. The Bible said, if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead, He shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit. And if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. Grieve not that Holy Spirit whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. That is the redemption of this body. Hallelujah. So then we see what a wonderful experience it is. This is why Paul said, equip yourselves with a mind to suffer. The reason is because you are an inner being. You are a spiritual son of God in the inner man. And this outer man must perish. And though the outer man perish day by day, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And this flesh, I mortify the deeds of my body, Paul said, so that my inner man can grow stronger and stronger and stronger on the inside, until mortality be swallowed up with this immortality. This great, wonderful, spiritual power of God and this innermost exuberance that I feel coming forth from the inside, being strengthened by the power and the might of the inner man. What a wonderful, thrilling experience it is to be strong and mighty in God. You know, this old flesh, it'll play tricks on you. The devil will torment the life out of you. Come on, folks. Somebody said, I hear voices. I do too. Somebody said, I hear all kind of voices. I do too. Voices of chicken and ice cream. Voices of devils and demons. Evil and corruption. Slop and mess. Ugliness and filth. Somebody say, I love Jesus. But I hear some voices also of virtue, of holiness and good works. Glory to God, of pureness. I hear some voices of righteousness. I hear some voices that's right. I hear some voices telling me to do the right thing. Somebody said, I think I lost my mind. That's the best thing you ever done. The quicker you lose it, the better off you are. Just get a hold of the mind of Christ while the other one's leaving. You'll be all right. I'll tell you what, a bunch of psychiatrists today sitting around got people on pills and everything else, trying to tell them they're this way and that, and got them going up and down like a seesaw. They need to see Jesus themselves. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Like when Brother Richard the Jew come here, they had him going up one side and down the other with pills and everything else. He's still walking in Jesus today, having a good time in the Lord today. Isn't that right? And all them voices he heard, the devils that was talking to him, God put them out of business. And today he's listening to the voice of God. He don't pay no attention to them other voices. And with them come around, you know, isn't that something? Somebody holler, well, I think I'm going crazy because I hear voices. You know, the devil, he's a bluff. Did you know that? He's a bluff and a threat and a nothing. Psychiatrists can keep you so drunk off of pills and everything else till you won't have enough sense to go to town and back. It's no wonder you're in the shape you're in. A bunch of dope addicts all over the world, everywhere, a bunch of hippies everywhere, and that psychiatrist, that devil that's living in that doctor and psychiatrist is sitting there and he's reckoning in the dollars and he don't want to lose any of his converts. Somebody say hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. I'll tell you, I know of a number of cases where one doctor give them a prescription and on the way home they'd stop at another doctor. And the doctor said, if you take that, you'll die. He said, but her doctor gave it to her. I can't help it, you'll die. Isn't that right? Oh, folks, we need Jesus. Glory to God, we need Jesus. If we can just turn to Jesus and call on Jesus and give Jesus a chance and trust Jesus. Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Pike, we don't have this kind of fellowship. Well, you need to get the word said. Glory to God, if you have to leave wherever you're at. Amen. And go to who knows where. You need to get to God, folks. I'd rather swim the ocean if I could to get to God than to live on the other side with the devil. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Hallelujah. Don't you feel good? I'm talking about real old-time Holy Ghost living. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Makes you feel like traveling on. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said, let me down to that ball game so I can get loose. Folks, you better get loose. You better get loose. You better get loose because Jesus knocked a home run. Did you know that? Amen. He knocked a home run. Did you know that? You better get loose. We done won the game. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You used to have somebody called Babe Ruth. The babe come up to the bat and hit a home run. Did you know that? Bible said just as quick as he went up to the throne, he kicked the devil out. Amen. Amen. Just as quick as that babe got up to the throne, he kicked the devil out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful experience it is to be a child of God and to be a Christian. Let's withdraw from the world and let's be a child of God. Let's get into this thing and let's have a good time in God. Let's think about religion in the morning. Let's think about religion in the evening. Let's think about religion at night. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you get this thing on your mind and you'll go crazy. I tell you what, if you don't get this thing on your mind, you'll go crazy. I don't know if anything will keep you from going crazy, but the Bible. While this world is in such a mixed up mess and they've got so many ideas about different things, if you go through all of that, you'll be as crazy. Well, they say as a loon. I don't know what a loon is. But if you ever stop to think like this, people say, if you study the Bible too much, you'll go crazy. And yet they'll say, you better get up out of that bed and go to school. Mama, I got the headache. You've got to get an education. From the time you're big enough to crawl out of the bed until you're so big you don't know what to do. Come on now. Stick your nose in a book and study till your eyes go out. You got to learn. You got to have an education. But Mama, I think that's going to drive me crazy. No, no, there's some pills you can turn into a hippie. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That's what's wrong with them. They drove them out of their mind. And they didn't know what to do. And they grabbed them a bunch of pills. And now the world's about gone crazy. But oh, glory to God, we got Jesus. I said, we got Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what would we do without all of these modern facilities? The same thing the children of Israel did. I've said this a lot of times. You know, he brought them out of Egypt and they didn't have no industries, but they had plenty to eat. They didn't have no schools and colleges, but they had plenty of sense. Plenty of sense. You said, well, did they have an education? That's not important. They had good sense. I'd much rather have good sense than education. I saw a lot of people with education that didn't have good sense. Isn't that right? A lot of people feed off the tree of knowledge that don't have good sense. But I'm talking about good sense, folks. The Bible said everyone that's born of God is of a good understanding. Is that right? So then I'm talking about following God. They come out of Egypt. The Bible said there was not one sick among them. Their feet did not swell. They moved right on through that wilderness. God was with them. They didn't have to have colleges and they didn't have to have industries and they didn't have to have money in the bank. God took care of them and they come through it with flying colors. Where is the God of yesterday? Somebody said, well, that was when God was so great among the people. I know that, but I'm talking about this wonderful day when God's so great in the people. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. God was just with Israel and done all of that. Just think what He can do with me when He lives inside of me. He's living inside of you. The Bible said you're the temples of the Holy Ghost. He walks on the inside of you. While He's in you, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that right? Praise God. What a wonderful Jesus. What a wonderful opportunity. Are you going to pass this opportunity up, folks? Are you going to pass it up? When you got a chance to serve the great Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You know, I talked this morning about that last trump. I kept talking about the last trump this morning. The last trump. Did you know that you're living in the end of the days of the Gentile church? Now, I just could go on and on and on. Yeah, I could just, like the brother done this morning, grab that mic and I tell you what, I could have myself a time right about now. I really could. So I think you'd give out. I wouldn't give out when daylight come. I've been going when daylight come and still wouldn't give out. Was just as full as if somebody poured my bucket full. You know, you can stay full if you ain't got a bunch of leaks. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. What a wonderful opportunity. Are you going to take this opportunity to serve God and to do something for God? There's hundreds of thousands, millions of people around the world that needs Jesus. We're engaged in world evangelism. What is this thing about? One thing is reaching souls for Jesus. He that wins souls, he's wise. Isn't that right? People's minds are messed up. I'm going to say this here and trying to find a place to close. Did you know that to mess with a person's mind is the worst thing that you ever done in your life? You people that call yourself preachers, you're going to stand in the high courts of God one of these days. He's going to bring you into the supreme courts of God one of these days for messing with the mind of humanity. Did you know what? Years ago in the Old Testament, if you defiled a virgin, it was a death penalty. You could get in trouble. Did you know that? And did you know, according to the Bible, God's wife is a virtuous woman? And when you mess with humanity's mind, you're messing with a mind of virtue. You're messing with a mind of virtue. And when you mess with that mind and you mess that mind up and you contaminate and defile that mind, did you know that God will have you in the supreme courts of heaven for that? You can't defile a human mind with filth and with garbage. You can't contaminate a human mind by getting it mixed up and all fuddled up with what you think they ought to do. You've got no business telling a human being anything at any time about anything unless you know what you're talking about. God, if He didn't commission you, you better leave it alone. God will kill your soul for that. Did you know that? Not just take your life, He'll kill your soul for that and put you in hell. That is a precious thing. You should never mess with a man's mind or a woman's mind. Never at any time. When you tell that person something, you should know exactly that that's thus saith the Lord. That that's God's eternal word and that that's God's way. And you shouldn't cut corners to get dollars in friendship. And you shouldn't cut corners to try to please somebody or do something to be a big figure or to look good. You are a fool for doing things like that. You'll destroy yourself and you'll destroy them that hear you. But oh, my brother, sister, if you'll walk right and do right, if you'll tell people right, if you'll put the right things in their mind, if you'll let the great Holy Spirit deal with their mind and drop the seed of life into the wound of their heart until Christ be formed within them, God will reward you greatly and mighty as you travel through this life. And on the other side, that Christ that ministered through your body to drop that great seed of life into their soul, their minds, that great God will reward you here and on the other side. That one that used your body to do that, to plant that heavenly seed, to bring forth Christ. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. God will reward you mightily in this life and in the life to come, in this world and in the world to come, if you will do that. But don't mess with a human mind. Don't mess up a human mind. Don't contaminate a human mind. Don't get it all confused and fuddled up. The devil in every way has sown seeds of disgust and seeds of rottenness and seeds of filth and seeds of confusion. And God is going to call him into the high courts of heaven one day. And he's going to call every member of that devilish body into that high court. And they're going to stand there and answer for their evil doings. You love Jesus? Let's equip ourselves with a mind to suffer, to submit our bodies unto Jesus Christ, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to withdraw from the things of the world. Let me say this, and I'll try to close. Did you know there's one thing we've got to remember, folks? And that is that all of the world wondered after the beast. I've said this numbers of times in my meetings. I want to say it again tonight. All of the world wondered after the beast. And then the question so often arises, who then is the beast? Every person that is not a Christian. Every person that is not a Christian, you are a member of that beast's body. And you'll head up in that beast head out there. Did you know that? Just like we're members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of the world wondered after the flesh. All of the world wondered after the flesh. All of the world wondered after the flesh. All of the world wondered after the beast. Cosmetics, good times, frolic, recreation, eating, drinking, marrying and marrying and marrying again, free love, dope addicts, everything that can be imaginable in their base side of life. All of the world wondered after the beast, the flesh. Isn't that right? They wondered after it. The Bible said they did. All except those whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. They had a mind to suffer and they mortified the deeds of the body. For the Bible said they are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God is within you. They don't wonder after the flesh because they don't walk in the flesh. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Therefore they are not of the beast. Remember what I said the other night? Three things, I emphasize this again and again at Little Bethlehem, three things that the world is going to thrive off of. They must have three things to survive. Government, one thing. I understand that Reagan has gone Catholic. I heard recently that he's gone Catholic. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I heard that he has. Reagan, government. They must have government. No people can survive without a government. Another thing they must have is religion. No nation can survive without a religion. It might be Confucius, it might be Mohammedism, it might be one thing or another, but they've got to have some kind of religion. Some kind of religious conviction. Did you know that? And another thing they've got to have is recreation. Recreation. The world cannot go without having recreation. They've got to jog a little bit or turn flips or chin a little bit or do a dance a little bit. Or they got to do something. Isn't that right? They're going to ride bicycles or they're going to run and jump hurdles or are they going to swim or are they going to do something? That's the world for you, the world of sports. What is that? It's the beast. I say this again, check it out and see if I'm telling you right. The beast was composed of three things. What was those three things? Recreation, government, religion. Bare feet, communist government. Recreation, the leopard body that goes back to Alexander the Great, Daniel's vision. Check it out and see. His vision of the leopard going back to Greece. The athletic part of it. Religion. Babylonian mouth like a lion. Spiritual Babylon. Babylon the Great. The mother of harlots. The paganistic Catholic Roman religion. Somebody say I love Jesus. The world is going to head up in those three things. You watch and see. The world is going sports crazy. And you won't be able to stop them. And the world is going religion crazy. And they're going to head up in the Catholic religion. I said that something like the charismatic move would spring up. And the Catholic people would accept it. And everybody would be pulled into it. They've done it. I said that years ago. The recreation, the sports, the religion. Communists is going to take over the world. Watch and see. It carried the great whore, the beast. It's going to be that way. It was Daniel's visions. And folks, that's where you're at today. The days of the Gentiles is at an end. The great beast is forming. The computerized system is here to control the people. And I just got a letter the other day where this person said that it is a true fact. Some of you perhaps saw it. They said that on television they showed this hand scanner. We said numbers of years ago that they'd come up with something. They would put it on the hand. It would be inside to where you couldn't see it. It would have to be revealed by light. And that they would do it by means of a laser beam. They've done it. They've come up with the hand scanner. It is a positive proof now that they've come up with it. They announced it on TV. And they can take the hand scanner and go over it like that and pick up the number that they put on your hand by laser beam to where nobody can't see it except by the hand scanner. They've got the hand scanner already made and perfected according to these documents. Now, that means that everything is down at the end of the trail. 15 nations or 14 nations, whatever it was, rose up against Israel. Luke, when you see the cities compassed with armies, the days of vengeance, this is the time of the wrath of God when all things come to an end. What is it? It's that time all of the world wondered after the beast. After the beast, after the flesh. After the flesh, all flesh had corrupted its way as it was in the days of Noah. There was none good, no, not one. All of them had corrupted their way. The church people, all of the rest. At the midnight cry, they all was asleep. The wise virgins, the foolish virgins, all of them was asleep. They all had give out their play in church. They had them a game. Every man to his own quarter. Everybody wanting to be on TV. Everybody wanting them a Big Ten. Everybody wanting to be an auditorium preacher. Everybody wanting to be a Billy Graham or Roberts. A Rex Humbart. Oh, what a bunch of foolishness. Don't you want to be a Christian? You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe in people's Christian? There's some Christians mixed up in that. You know there's bound to be people that love God that's mixed up in that. Rex is a fine man, but Rex needs to get straightened out with God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Oral is a fine man, but he needs to get straightened out with God. And Bill is a fine man, but he needs to get straightened out with God. And Pat needs to get straightened out with God. Are you listening? Pat Roberts needs to get straightened out with God, and Jim Baker needs to get straightened out with God. You love Jesus? These men need to get straight with God, and many of the others need to get straight with God. Fine men, but they need to get straightened out with God. I said, I'm afraid to say that. Well, I ain't afraid to say that. Well, you'll all get killed for saying it. Well, after I'm dead, I'll be gone, but I'll be done said it. Praise God, it'll be on tape if I get killed afterwards. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'll be done got it out. Every one of them needs to get straight with God. They're carrying on a bunch of foolishness. That's what it is. I believe this with all my heart, folks, that God has allowed those men and other men like Alan and different ones that come by to do some good. All of them has done some good, and God has allowed it because the people have been like little babies. And God has allowed it, the light, to be so dim just to gather in the people, just like denominationalism. Denominationalism is a bunch of foolishness. But nevertheless, God in the past has used it and let this be a little light to draw the people in so it wouldn't be too bright for them, to where he could get their attention, to where he could get their attention on Jesus and on the Word of God to get them cleaned up, to get them religious-minded. And what good they've done, then I'm for that. And I thank God for it, and God allowed it. And he let it go far enough that he wouldn't say anything about it until he could get the people far enough along to where they could see it's a bunch of foolishness. But those men are leading millions of people to hell. You love the Lord. Somebody say, but them people are praising God. Brother Pike, it don't make any difference if you stand and praise God till you drop into the flames of hell. You still go to hell. Praising God don't take nobody to heaven. They say, praise the Lord club. What's that got to do with it? Jesus said, you must be born again. Praising God don't get you to heaven. You say, but believing in God, the devil believes there's a God. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do better than some of the rest. They believe there's three gods. The devil believes there's one God and trembles when he thinks about it. Oh, brother, let me tell you something. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. I trust that them men will get away from their foolishness and get back to God. Start serving God and get their lives cleaned up and get back to holiness. Don't you know God ain't going to take them men into heaven and them got a bunch of people in bathing suits, jumping hurdles and running tracks and running around half naked all over the campuses and around the places and building places everywhere for naked and nude people to come and trying to mix darkness with light and putting Christian people and worldly people out there together. Don't you know God ain't in such a mess as that? If God is in such a mess as that, whereas he isn't, he certainly wouldn't be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can't you just picture Peter coming up to the 700 club and giving his testimony and Paul coming up to the 700 club? I'll tell you, if they had Peter and Paul on there one time, he'd bust the 700 club into so many pieces they'd never find the 700 club no more. And PTL either one. You love Jesus? I'll tell you something else. If Paul stood up and preached one sermon in the Billy Graham meeting, he'd scatter people right and left in every way. There wouldn't be no more Billy Graham crusades. Hundreds of millions of people coming, lifting up their hands, saying, I accept Jesus Christ. That don't mean you accept Jesus Christ. But you say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said it shall come to pass, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that, but the Bible says also, Paul, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. For the Bible said, not everyone that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father, wash away your sins. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the remission of sin, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You love Jesus? Lot to do, my brother. Having your fruits unto holiness in the end thereof everlasting life. If you don't have any fruits of holiness, you don't have any everlasting life. You can confess Christ all you want to. You can seek repentance like Esau did with bitter tears, but it's not going to do you any good. You can go down to the altar and you can cry all you want to. You can shout all you want to, but that don't make you Christian. I love you. God bless you. I hope you can make it in. But you're going to have to go the route. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You love Jesus? I am the Word, Jesus said. Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's stand together. Let's equip ourselves with a mind to suffer. Turn away from the flesh and let's be a real testimony for Jesus. The end of the world is here, my beloved brother, sister. It's time to use great plainness of speech. It's time to use great plainness of speech. Let's get away from the foolishness of all this charismatic move and all these clubs and all these kind of things. And let's get down to business of living holy lives and pure lives before God. And let's call upon the name of Jesus and let's help get them people out of that mess. Oh, my brother, let's get them out of that mess. You say, Brother Pike, get them. Get them out of that mess. They're in a mess. Get them out of it. Tell them how to live and what they must do. Get them out of that. I thank God if the PTL and Billy Graham or anybody else caught their attention enough to get their attention to get them toward, get them looking in the direction of Christ. I thank God for that much of it. To make a confession, I thank God for that much of it. But then after that, the Bible said they made him twofold more the child of hell than he was if they'd have left them alone. They think they're really on their way to heaven now when they're on their way to hell. If they'd have left them alone, you could have got to them with religion. Real old-fashioned religion. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, and you keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Come out from among the world and be a separate people, folks. Then I'll receive you. Let's sing a little chorus together. Brother Pike, the light's mighty bright. Oh, my brother, you don't know anything yet. The Bible said when the Ancient of Days said it's going to be so bright, the mountains will flee away. Won't even be any ocean left. Seas will flee away. The earth will flee away. The Bible said heaven and earth will pass away. All of it will flee away when he sets and comes after the millennium upon that great white throne, but this word won't pass away. If you're born of this word, flesh of that flesh and bone of that bone of the word, he was made the word, word flesh, bone flesh. You won't pass away. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Right? There'll be a new heaven. There'll be a new earth for them word folks. For them word folks that can't pass away. But all them other folks that relates to the earth and the natural heavens, they'll pass away. Let's sing the little chorus again. I love him, can we? I want you to think these things over, folks. You come to camp meeting. You say, well, Brother Pike, I just decided to come down. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. That wasn't it. The Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. God prepared your heart to think about coming down. You're not here because you wanted to come. You're here because he sent you. If he sent you, there is a reason. You say, what do you think the reason is? Well, you can be a sovereignty. He either sent you to despise this place, to mark it off of your list, to never worry about it anymore so it won't trouble you, or he sent you here to hear something that'll save your soul and to let you know that this is the way. That this is the way. Hallelujah. He sent you here for a purpose. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, when you're clean, Jesus said through the words that I've spoken unto you, it makes you feel heavenly. Oh, glory to God, I feel heavenly. It makes you feel close to heaven. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you the truth. That rapture must be getting close. Ooh, it might take place before we get out of here the way I feel, Brother Ernie. Hallelujah. And he sent his word and healed them. Glory to God. Woo, I feel that quickening, don't you? That word's liable to take us right on out here tonight. You can't ever tell. Getting close now. The city of Jerusalem just about ready to be compassed with armies. Hallelujah. That church, that pure word bride. That one is going to say yea and amen to all the promises of God. Hallelujah. She's getting ready. Did you know that's the way you become the word made flesh? Everything you hear about it. You don't reject it, say, oh, glory to God. It hurts. It's killing me. Yea and amen. I love it, Lord. Yea and amen. Hallelujah. Can you say it and really mean it? Can you say it and really mean it? I love him. I love him. All because he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Now while we're singing, let's gather around the altar again tonight. Oh, we need to do this during the camp meeting. I love him, so we renew our vows. I love him. Can you reconsecrate your lives to God? All because he first loved me. Come on, folks. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Do you love him now? Lift your hands up and let's love him, can you? Sing it again now. Sing it again now. Sing it like you mean it. Come on now. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. All because that you first loved me. me. And you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Oh, hallelujah. Love Jesus tonight. The rapture's getting close, folks. I'm telling you the truth from my heart. The rapture's getting close. I feel that Holy Ghost here tonight, don't you? I feel that Holy Ghost here tonight. Jesus, hallelujah. Can you love Jesus? Can you love Jesus? Is your mind on Jesus tonight? Is your heart on Jesus tonight? Can you trust Jesus tonight? Can you just let your heart and spirit go out tonight just to trust Jesus and love Jesus tonight? Can you do that? Oh, brother, sister, can you just love Jesus tonight? I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. All because that you first loved me, and you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. Give me another key. Let's just sing another chorus or two. Amazing grace, how sweet that sound, that saved a wretch like me. Can you sing it with me? I once was lost, but now, Lord, I'm found. I was blind, but now, oh, I can see. Don't you love Jesus? Oh, it was grace that taught my heart. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. It was grace, my fears relief. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. Oh, hallelujah! And when the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh, I'm gonna wear a crown. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Gonna wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear it bright and a shiny crown. For when the battle is over, we're gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Sing it again. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and a shiny crown. I believe some of you will. When the battle is over, we're going to wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Do you love Jesus? Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel good, don't you? Brother Walker says, I feel good, 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 I feel good. When you see me coming, I got him on my mind. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to pray for this sister tonight if she'll come up here. Will you do that, sister? Will you come up here with brother? Come up here with her, brother. Praise God. She's had some problems, and we're going to pray for her tonight. I believe God's going to heal her, don't you? Don't you believe God will heal you tonight? Don't you believe God will heal you tonight? I believe he will. Let's lift our hands up and pray tonight. You know, if you needed healing tonight, you'd want to believe, wouldn't you? And it's so simple. You saw Ernie pray this morning for this brother here that had this ear infection or deafness, whatever it was, and God healed it right on the spot. The brother said he'd had it ever since he was in the war. Isn't that right? But God healed it. Now let's pray for this sister and let God heal her tonight. You know, we have to let God heal us. Did you know that? Let God heal us. We have to let God heal us. You say, how do we keep God from healing us, Brother Pye? By unbelief. By unbelief. Oh, why should we doubt Jesus? He sent his word and healed us. By his stripes we're healed. He paid the price at Calvary. All we've got to do is accept it. Let's believe God tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. Dear God, rebuke the spirit that's binding the sister. Father, heal this body. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. In Jesus Christ's name. I charge thee, Lucifer, in Jesus' name to depart this body. Come no more into this body. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this body. The blood of Calvary. And I speak healing to this body. Strength to these nerves. The strength that comes by the power of the Son of God. And Satan, thou art a liar. Thou art a father of a liar. And I plead the blood against thee tonight. In the name of the Son of God, we speak healing to this body tonight. Lord, you said them that we bless would be blessed. We bless this vessel tonight. We bless this body with strength tonight. In the name of the Son of God tonight. I believe Jesus is doing something for you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love Jesus, can we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Jesus loves us tonight. He wants to heal us. He wants to save us. He wants to forgive us tonight. He loves you. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart tonight. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? A lot of times we have problems, don't we? Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes things go wrong. But if you'll trust in Jesus, everything will work out. All the time it will work out. If your body suffers pain and your health you just can't regain and you have to get along on Mega Fair, oh, just remember that in God's word there he fed the little birds. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Can you sing it with me? Go and leave it there. Go and leave it there. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust and if you'll never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Go leave them there. Go leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. For if you'll trust and don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus tonight? Sister standing right over here, would you come up here, please? Right here. Would you come up, please? Jesus is good. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Let's lift our hands up and love Jesus. Praise God. The sister seeking and searching for reality in the Lord. Whereas we know that if we don't find a reality in God, we're not going to make it. Isn't that right? But you know what? There is a reality in God. How do you know there's a reality in God? And a lot of times we can look for it in the wrong direction. We can start down the wrong trail. We can be so sure that we're sure that we're sure and still be wrong. See, have you ever been down that trail, Brother Pike? I was one time in my life. One time in my life. So we've got to be sure tonight. As we walk this narrow way, Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's not going to be a lot of people. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, the great multitudes. No, he said, fear not, little flock. And he said, it is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom, the little flock. Isn't that right? Jesus said, straight is this gate. You know, like a straight jacket, it's a tight fit. He said, straight is this gate. He said, narrow is this way. And he said, it's just a few there's going to be that find it. Isn't that right? A great man by the name of William Branham made the statement one time that in a place like Atlanta, Georgia, where there's 2 million people, said maybe 1, 2, or 3, 4, 5. 2 or 3 maybe at the most out of Atlanta, Georgia would make it. Maybe so, maybe not. That's a tight fit. You love Jesus? You know, we sang the song, would you be free from your burdens of sin? Would you be free from your bondages? Folks, tonight there's a number of you that's standing here. Even though you come to church here, you're still under bondage. Did you know that? You're under bondage to demons and devils, some of you. Thoughts. Did you know that thoughts are demons and devils? Demons and devils present themselves in the forms of thoughts. Did you know that? Some of you people are still under bondage to demons and devils. Thoughts of demons and devils. You still have your minds harassed. You still lean to your own understanding. You still have your own plans. You still have your own motives. You still have your tempers. You still have the things that you're planning in life. And you're still trying to make God work with you and conform to your way of life and what you want to do. Instead of surrendering to God and melting down to God. Turning yourself over to God. Now, there's a few thoughts that I'd like to say to the sister tonight. But if I do, I'm going to put her on the spot. And I'm not going to do it. I believe she's a fine sister. But I tell you one thing, she wants to know the truth. But she's looking for the truth, and she's confident that she's got the truth. But we can still be under bondage and still be seeking and searching for freedom, a peace of mind, and a way out. Did you know that? You love Jesus? I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I believe this is a fine sister. And I believe she's got a fine companion back here. I want her to lift her hands up if she will. And I want to pray for her tonight. I felt her spirit as we was ministering. And I could tell her spirit was desiring something of the Lord.
really sincerely and honestly before the Lord. And I bypassed it a time or two. And then I felt that the Lord was displeased that I should call her up here and pray for her. Lift your hands with me, will you? And let's pray. Praise God. Sisters, we pray together. Father, Lord of heaven, in Jesus' name, I thank you for my brother that's come down to hear us. God bless his precious heart. And God bless his precious companion. Lord, I feel this sister's wonderful faith, Father. This woman has faith in you, Jesus. Dear God, she's sincere in her heart. Pure in heart, Father. Heal this body. Deliver her from every thought, everything that would interfere. Dear God, in her life, in her spirit, remove every bondage, every yoke. Give her that freedom, that joy, that relaxation, that strength. Oh, God, that jubilance that she's searching for. Hallelujah. Grant it. Feel you doing it now. Back there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? I felt God do something there. I felt God do something there. Can you sing this little chorus while we worship Jesus for a minute? Give me a key, Frank. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven. Oh, glory to God. I'm shouting the victory. Oh, hallelujah. I'm shouting the victory. For I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. Oh, this is like heaven to me. For Jesus touched me. Did he touch you? Oh, he touched me. Did he touch you tonight? I felt something touch me. I felt something touch the sister. I felt him sweep over me tonight. And oh, the joy that floods my soul, for something has happened, and now, oh, now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. Oh, yes, Jesus touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, that joy that floods my soul. For something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. Don't you believe he touched you? Don't you believe he made you whole? Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God. Our brother from over here in Mississippi, come up here and let us pray with you tonight. You know, this brother really desires something from Jesus. He is really asking God to do something in his life in a great way. He wants to be an inspiration to God, not just the average inspiration, but he really wants to do something for God. Not only him, but his companion is right in there with him. They're both, you can pick up their spirits, and they're both just locked tight just like that. They really want to do something for God. And they want to find the right way. They want to find the right way. And they've come all the way over here to this camp meeting looking for something.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that people would travel such a long ways looking for something from Jesus? I want us to do one thing is that as the days wear on in the camp meeting, I want us to be more spiritual. And I want us to fast a little bit and pray a little bit and call on Jesus a little bit. And I want to see Him speak to the people here more and more. More and more. You know, in the tent meetings, I try to stay before God the whole time in the tent meetings to where God will speak continually to the people because that's what I want. And here in the camp meeting, let's ask God to speak to the people. A lot of people want a word from God. Did you know that? They don't want something that somebody has made up, but they want to hear from God. They want to hear from heaven. They want a real word from God. You know, I've seen people in the past, they prophesied and they sent people into the islands and they sent people into places. And I told them when they was doing it, I said, that's not God. I said, that word didn't come from God. And those people got into a terrible fix. But there is a word that comes from God. Did you know that? There's a word that can help you. There is something that comes from God. Where God speaks through His ministry and speaks through His people. And they can really help you. They can really help you. I want one or two of the ministers that love Jesus to come up here. Brother Walker, come up here. You love the Lord. Come up here. Will you come up here with me? Praise God. Some of these people that love the Lord, I want you to come up here. Some of you ministers. Sure, I got some ministers out there that love the Lord. Come up here and let's pray for this brother tonight. Just lift your hands up tonight as we pray for you. Yes, praise God. Now this brother ain't making believe. I'm telling you the truth. Yes. He's not making believe. He's sincere about this thing. His companion, just as sincere as he is too, she's pushing with all of her heart for him to be what God wants him to be. Praise God. Jimmy, come up here and pray with us. I keep picking up Jimmy's spirit here. He's really wanting something from God too. Come up here, Jimmy. Brother. Right here. Come up here and pray with us, will you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on up here. Praise God. Brother Morris, you love the Lord, don't you? Hallelujah. Come up here and let's pray. Brother Grady, come over here and pray with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray for this brother tonight. Y'all lift your hands up and let's pray. Dear God in heaven, I've not forgotten my brother. Oh, hallelujah. My God. Lord, this heart, this life is in travail before you. Lord, he longs so much and desires so much that his very soul is in travail before you, waiting for that moment, hoping for that break from God, that you'll honor him. Oh, God, you're going to do it. Bless him, Lord. Magnify him, Jesus. Lift him up. Fill him full of that sweet Holy Spirit that our brother Stan sang about tonight. Oh, God, fill him with that great Holy Spirit. Jesus, Jesus, in your will tonight, by your Spirit tonight, my God, in Jesus' name tonight, bless our brother. Lord, do something special for him, God. Lord, God of heaven, lead him and guide him. Tell him of your love and your kindness. Endow him with that special ability. Oh, God. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother, you've been caught in a great strait. I can see even to the point that your very soul has been in travail in such deep anguish.
you know, to find something with Jesus and to be sure, to be sincere, to be in the right place with Jesus. I mean real deep sincerity. Even to where, you know, it gets way down to where it just hurts of just longing and wanting to be in that place. You know, and it's had you in a great strait. There's been a lot of confusion. A lot of confusion. Tossed to and fro. Not knowing what to do. Just every which way, you know. Everything pulling at you. Oh, hallelujah. You know, not knowing which way to go. And you know, that's one reason you come over here. Sure as I'm standing here tonight, that's one reason you come, is because of this great confusion and this thing that has harassed you of not knowing that will of God, that perfect will of God for your life. But tonight, He's going to do something for you, and He's going to open your heart, and He's going to open your mind, and He's going to move that confusion, that doubt, and you're going to find that sure way of God. You're going to find that sure way of God, and it's going to dawn on you what to do. Sure, the sure way of God. In Jesus' name, and God's going to bless you, and He's going to give you a confidence and a strength and a surety like you've never had before, and use you in Jesus' name. Can you love Him tonight? Can you love Him tonight?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's love Jesus tonight. Let's love Jesus. Let's sing that chorus tonight. Sweep over my soul. Can you? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Oh, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. Sing this with me now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail those wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it one more time now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail those wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? Praise God. You know, tonight, I can feel the Spirit moving tonight. I can feel the Spirit moving. Not at a tide like I'd like to feel it, but I feel the Spirit moving here tonight. And I can feel people's spirits, and I can feel their thoughts tonight. You know, when the Spirit starts moving, you that are spiritual, you that have discernment, you can feel people's spirits and thoughts. The Bible said Jesus perceived their thoughts in His spirit. And the Word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And if you become the Word made flesh, or if you get close to God, and then you'll be able to pick up the thoughts and the spirits, the thoughts of people's hearts. You love Jesus? Amen. You know, there's a person standing here now, and he's troubled. He's troubled over the past of what he done. He's troubled over it. He defiled a woman. He done it in a low down and undermining way. Took advantage of her husband. And he's troubled. He's never shook it off of his conscience. And he's troubled over it. And he shouldn't be. It was a low down thing. Undermining thing. been a just thing if the man had killed him as far as the natural. But you know what? It's like the woman at the well. She'd committed adultery. She was guilty. But Jesus forgave her. Jesus forgave her. And though the guilt is there, you know, if you really come to the place to where you're sorry, really come to the place to where you're sorry, genuinely sorry, to put it behind you from now on. Don't go back and be a wretch. Try to be a pretty boy and a lady's. Get rid of the filth of your mind and try to be clean. The Lord will take it out of your life and He'll give you a chance. He'll give you a chance and you can be a clean, upright person again. You can be a Christian. You can be a Christian, but you need to leave it behind you once and for all. I want you to lift your hands up. If you believe what I'm telling you, you that are guilty, lift your hand up with me. And I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to try to help you tonight. I'm here for one purpose. That's to try to help you. I want to help you tonight. I'll do whatever I can to help you. I'll do what I can to help you. Let's just lift our hands and close our eyes tonight. Let's pray together, can we? You know, a lot of problems in people's lives. A lot of things in your lives. A lot of thoughts go through your mind. I remember a preacher was up preaching one night. My wife and I were sitting out in the audience. It's a man from California. I'd never met him before, but we were sitting there. And I marvel at the way he was preaching that night, and the Lord was using him in the gifts. But as I sat there that night, I picked up his spirit, and he was troubled. And when I checked to see what it was, he had a heart condition. And I looked at my wife, and I said, "That man's got a heart condition." But he was still ministering to the people. He was pushing right on, ministering to the people. Did you know a lot of people that are in the work of God today, they got a lot of problems. Did you know that physically? But did you know they go on ministering to the people and they go on doing things for God? Paul spoke of somebody one time that was nigh to death because they'd not spared their bodies trying to do something for Jesus. Did you know that? There's men standing out there tonight that's pressed their bodies to the limit for Jesus. But by faith, they're going on. Amen. And they're troubled. Some of them have pressed themselves in their financial realms until they give the last dollar and they don't know what to do. Like Brother Ernie said today, just having to trust God. But they believe God and they go right on. Right on. Ernie was saying today how he had a heart condition and believed God, rode over it, went on and preached like a man from another world this morning. See, you can do anything by faith, folks. Did you know that? I stand here tonight healthy and strong in God. You know why? Because I believe God. I've been through about everything physically and naturally and spiritually and mentally. Just about everything. I've had guns drawn on me and knives drawn on me and I've been called everything. But I'm still going on for Jesus. You love Jesus? You can do it. You can do it. Be strong in the power of His might. If you've got an affliction, if you've got a sickness, if you've been attacked by cancer, we got a sister here that they told her she had cancer here a long time, years ago. That woman put up her faith in God. She anchored herself in God. She comes to church regularly. She's still going strong. She's got a testimony. She still works on a job, and that cancer's back in. I don't know where. Wherever it's at, she don't pay no attention to it. That's faith in God. Did you know that? That takes faith in God. You say, "Well, it must never trouble her." Well, you know better than that. The devil wouldn't miss a chance to trouble you. Well, he'll trouble you. But that ain't got nothing to do with it, has it? That don't have nothing to do with it. If you got faith in God, it don't matter if he talks to you. That's them voices I was talking about. Yeah, that's, you know, a lot of voices I don't like to listen to. You ever had somebody come up and start saying something and you just walk off and leave them standing there? You just don't listen to them. If you hear something on the radio you don't want, you turn it off, don't you? Well, that's the way I do them voices. Them voices come on, I just turn them off. I don't listen to them. Listen to faith. Listen to what God has to say about it. If anything's got any virtue in them, think on these kind of things. If it be faith, if it be lovely, if it be pure, think on those kind of things. That's the things to think on. Don't think on the rot and the garbage. Lift your hands up and let's pray together. If you're sick tonight, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. If you're sick tonight, I want you to believe. I want you to believe. But folks, listen, I tell you again, don't try to mix darkness with light. Don't try to mix darkness with light. Stop trying to be a pretty girl. Stop trying to be a pretty girl. You women, stop trying to be pretty girls. Try to be a Christian. You men, stop trying to be pretty boys. Start being a Christian here. Start being a Christian. Being a pretty boy, you know what that'll get you? A good case of adultery and a siege of the powers of hell. And you'll wind up in the flames of hell. Being a pretty girl, you know what that'll get you? That'll get you a good case of adultery. And you'll wind up in the flames of hell. So, well, I think I'll catch somebody's eye. You will. No doubt that somebody got their eye on you right now. Some of you women that don't want to be true to your husband. There's somebody got their eye on you right now. There's a devil watching you. He's waiting for his chance. He'll get you somewhere. Just keep on flirting around with the devil. And he'll put you in the flames of hell. Keep on. All right, let's lift our hands now. Let's be a Christian. Let's be holy and clean in our spirit. Let's be godly. Forget about the mirror in your face. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus as beholding your face in a mirror, appearing to be like Jesus. Think about being like Jesus instead of being like the world. I told a man not too long ago, Spirit had a hold of his wife, fine woman. He's almost ready to fight me. He held himself, but it showed up. It showed up. He found out I didn't lie to him. It showed up. Still showing up. Going to show up more if she don't get a hold of herself. To the extent he's going to be shocked and she is too. Let's just lift our hands up. Another man came here, sat in my audience. Fine woman. She wore the long dresses. She dressed holy. She'd done everything everybody done. A reputation of being clean, godly, upright. But I said, a devil's got a hold of her. Her husband spewed like a Roman candle. I said, but it's true anyhow. In the service, I picked it up. Since that time, she's committed fornication and adultery and everything. Things that people couldn't believe. Let's love Jesus. Precious, wonderful God of heaven, in Jesus' name, we love you tonight. Oh God, as we stand here praying. Father, thinking about the wonderful presence of Jesus. Thinking about the glory of God. The wonderful things that you promised us. Lord, in Jesus' name tonight, I ask you to look out over this audience. Father, people that love you are standing here tonight. People that are clean in heart are standing here tonight. Father, heal tonight. Heal. I feel your healing tonight. Oh God, let the hand of healing go out tonight. Father, heal tonight. Father, heal those bodies. May there not be one thing wrong with these people's bodies. Father, heal them tonight. Make them strong tonight, Father. Deliver them from sin tonight, God. Oh God, and fill them with the Holy Ghost tonight. Father, heal. Our brother that we prayed for tonight and sister. Father, may the Spirit of God be upon them tonight. May you heal tonight. May the deliverance of God be here tonight. Oh God, speak to these people in the wonderful ways of Jesus. I ask you to do it tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a chorus and we're going to let you go. Appreciate your kind attention. We held you a little long tonight. But we want you to worship God with us for just a few more minutes. Can you do that? How many to go try to be back tomorrow night? Let me see your hand. Or tomorrow morning, service tomorrow morning. Maybe some of you can come tomorrow morning. I want to ask you about your hand for tomorrow morning. Some of you may have to work. But for tomorrow night, let me see your hands if you're going to try to be back tomorrow night. Some of you be back tomorrow morning. I'm looking for the Lord to do something in these services. You might even find yourself out. Did you know that? You might discover yourself in these services. We got one fellow that come to me the other day, said since he'd been here, he discovered himself. He discovered himself. Praise God. You know, the greatest discovery you ever made is your own self. The heart is deceitful, wicked, desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Praise God. All right, let's sing that song one more time, Amazing Grace, as we close out tonight, can't we? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Praise God. Can you lift your hand? Praise God. 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 Now bow your heads with me. Our brother John Jameson comes to dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight. Take hold of what we preached to you, what we've told you. Don't forget these wonderful words of life. Something is happening. We're in the end of the world, and the great wonderful streets of gold and gates of pearls is on the verge of appearing. And the wonderful treasure of this great, wonderful wisdom and knowledge of God that can translate your body from death, it is available even to that that's in the heavenly places, the wisdom of God. So tonight, examine yourself. See if you're laying up this treasure, this heavenly treasure that's in earthen vessels. See if you've got it tonight as our brother comes, Brother John.